Golf WRX is proud to present an interview with Adams Golf. Today, we're honored to have Tim Reed, Vice President of Research and Development, Michael Gurrett, Senior Engineer Tour Specialist. Since the retail Pro Forge irons were aimed at lower handicap players, why the decision to include hybrid replacements for the 3 and 4 irons? Was there a fair amount of demand among consumers for traditional 3 and 4 irons?
Well, it's interesting. During the development, when we first set out, our intent was to have the longest club in the bag, whether it's the 2 or the 3 iron, just be a hybrid, and the rest of the sets would be just good performing forged slight cavity back irons. And the market told us that more hybrids was better, and also physics kind of won out. Like Mike stated about the tour, we saw this happen on the Champions Tour, where guys were not only replacing their 1 and 2 iron, guys were going all the way down to their 5 iron or even their 6 iron. It's interesting. I've seen this before with Ping I 2 irons, for example. They were designed for super game improvement type players, but yet in the late 80s, you would see a number of what I would call traditional tour players that had these, you know, 1 irons and 2 irons in their bag. Some would cover them up by a towel because they were kind of embarrassed. But, you know, I would go all the way back to that time and tell you that that was probably one of the very first hybrid sets, because they saw the benefits of that design to be able to, you know, it was easier to hit, it had more moment of inertia, more forgiveness and such. So with that information, we made the ultimate decision that, you know, put as many hybrids in there that would make sense. 3 and 4 was a no-brainer. We debated the 5, and that's when we get into the A3 discussion. That's why we have 5 hybrid in that set. We went ahead. We've got a little bit of history now. We made the 3 and 4 iron for custom options, and I can tell you right now that out of all the sets that have sold, I believe we've only had 2 requests for long irons. So the consumer is embracing the fact that it is a better product. And I always go back to one thing, and as an engineer, ultimately, if it's got better performance through physics, then it's going to win in the market. And, you know, the evolution of the iron set, going from a forged to a cavity back to oversized to integrated sets, the reason that's occurring is because they're better product. And, you know, we didn't want to short ourselves. If we knew it would be a better product and a better integrated set, we're going to offer the most hybrids in there. And that's kind of how the decision came out. And, you know, again, right before launch, we saw more and more players switch to it on the Champions Tour, and it was overwhelming that, you know, there's going to be a day when potentially you'll see the best players in the world carrying up to a 5 hybrid on tour. It's happening today. It's even happening on the PGA Tour.
Kind of like when the game improvement clubs came on the scene versus the Fords. Same, so it looks like it's the same thing happening here. Interesting.
Because back then, the best players in the world grew up playing forged or traditional flat-back designs, and mm-hmm. So they moved into certain game improvement golf clubs, and they're now currently playing in the Champions Tour. So these young guns out there, some of them never hit a persimmon wood. They didn't hit forged golf clubs. They played pings out of school. And so this is that's the bare minimum normal golf club design to them. So a club with offset is standard, and giving them a hybrid is not that difficult, and it makes a lot of sense technically.
I got to feel sorry for them if they've never hit a persimmon or a forged blade. They don't know what they're missing.
I agree.
You know, that's I grew up in high school in the 70s, and that's my background. But I wouldn't trade the game improvement stuff these days. I just love that answer. It's just fascinating. This may be you guys may start the revolution of the next thing coming in, like the cast clubs came in. Now you're coming in with the hybrids all the way down to the 5. That's just so fascinating. Hey guys, there's so many steel shafts on the market. Why was the black gold chosen as the standard shaft offering of the Pro-Forged iron? And are they soft-stepped from the factory?
Yeah, first part of that, you know, why did we choose the black gold? It's a twofold effort. You know, there's always a marketing aspect of a product, and that is, you know, there's a hot shaft out there, and everybody wants to plumb onto it, but we do that up to a certain extent. We have to make sure that that shaft is going to work in our product, and so we did some testing with it, with the black gold, and we had some really good results with it in the Idea Pro. In our testing, we realized that, you know, that in our player testing, that the shaft profile, when we did the what we call an EI curve, when we measured the shafts, that they weren't quite matching up 100% with what the players demanded out there. And so by soft stepping it, it gave us a better profile of shaft to put in that product to perform with what the market demanded. So that's why we chose that shaft, and that's why we chose to soft step it. It just gave us a better configuration with our irons together as a set.
Guys, will the forged iron construction be extended to game improvement lines in the future?
Well, to answer this question, it's pretty simple. If you know, we'll consider a forged iron product in that category if it does not affect the mass properties performance. One of the limiting factors of that processing of forged clubs is that you don't have the ability to make deeper cavities and thicker sections to thin section. It's very challenged in traditional forging techniques. And the other side of it is the cost. We would rather put all of the cost and the technology into the right shafts and into the hybrids, because that's ultimately where the consumer needs the most help, and design, you know, the best short irons possible. We have looked at it because we understand there's added value there, but we can't justify the cost to the consumer, and we're not sure that they're willing to pony up for that additional expense, especially when it's only going to be from the, you know, potentially the 6 or 7 iron down.
Yeah, that makes sense. The hybrids have played a big role in the success of Adam Golf.
Yes.
What makes the current Idea Pro hybrid so successful among low and high handicappers alike?
Well, it's you know, we're always developing prototypes, as we said earlier. So we've always got prototypes that we're testing out there. Mm-hmm. And the Idea Pro was really a result of looking at our prototypes and what they did on tour, how successful they were, and what we were lacking. And I don't want to get into the details because I know there's competitors out there potentially going to read this. So it's like our secret as to what we did with that. We kind of tip our hand. But we looked at things in the mass properties, and when I say mass properties, we're looking at you know, ground interaction with the sole, where the center of gravity is relative to you know, the face and the housel, and where all that fits. And we found some things that we were doing and the competitors were doing that were kind of going in the wrong direction. And it was after looking at that data for a while and you know, having 3 or 4 engineers sit around and look at it and say, wow, you know, we've got Nirvana over here, and that's what really went into the Idea Pro, and it's pretty cool because we're seeing it work, and you know, sometimes when you come up with something like that, it can fail, but at this point we actually got it right, so that was a lot of fun.
Well, you know, what's amazing about this club is that I hear from both low and high handicappers just how incredible the club is. That's extremely unusual. Normally I hear, you know, for one segment, and the other segment doesn't like the club. For both segments to rant and rave about it, you've got something special here.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, I think that not only does it, you know, it fits the eye of a better player, but it still has exceptional, you know, forgiveness number, MOI number in there. Put in perspective is 2,500, 2,600. What that all means for a hybrid is that it's probably in the neighborhood of about 30% higher than just a game improvement iron, but over the market it's probably in the neighborhood of 15 or 18% higher than the other competitors on the tour. So, you know, I've done some analysis of the evolution of the iron set, and this falls right into why we think the hybrid plays well, is that over time, the iron set that did the best in the market, it was simply, when you analyze it and look at the data, that club typically had the lowest center of gravity and had the highest MOI, regardless of the class. For example, like if you look at old forged irons, There's a bunch of forged irons. The clubs that did well, the MP11, the MP14, the Hogan, FG17s, all those golf clubs at that point in time have the most forgiveness and the lowest center of gravity. If you look at the middle of the market, Ping I2, the 845s, again, same trend, the highest MOI, lowest center of gravity. Look at on tour, the hybrids that have the best mass properties win. It's a little bit more complicated than just those two metrics because we've got to worry about face progression and or what we call offset. But at the end of the day, we think that we can explain technically why it's winning. But, and when we look at what we're doing for various other models, we can affect ball flight. But what we know now, and that's what's happening. And when you see other prototypes coming out on tour, they are designed with different ball flight parameters. We're getting, it's an exact science now for us.
Gotcha. What are the all gray hybrids we've seen pictures at various tour events? Are they different from the current idea hybrids in any way?
We basically, like we said a while ago, there are different needs out there for different players, and mm-hmm. as good as the idea pro is, there are certain players that didn't quite migrate to it, and so, you know, the Daryl survey is a big part of why we're out there, and so every club counts, and so there were players that weren't necessarily going into it and needed, had special needs, and so what we did is we designed an idea pro version with a little different characteristic, a little more spin in it, a little bit more sole radius that will give it a little different performance out of the rough. And basically that's what that, we call it a peanut, but that's what that club gave us out there and got into a few more bags that idea pro wouldn't have gotten into. And so that's, as far as that being on the market, we'll look at it and see if there's, traction out there, and it may correlate itself into the consumer market. We'll see.
Gotcha. Is the Albula VS Pro Proto in the Idea Hybrids the same as the Aftermath version?
Albula offers both a 95 and an 80 gram version. We elected the 80 gram for the obvious reason it's lighter. 95 is the predominant one in play on the tour. There are some 80s in play on, I know, on the women's LPGA along with the Champions Tour. So long story short, it is the same product as the aftermarket.
Got it. What advantages do the Boxer hybrids have over the Idea Pro? And will some form of Boxer hybrids replace the Idea Pro?
I'll start with this. The Boxer hybrid in the A3s were designed, first goal was higher MOI because it's going to be slightly different player segment, slightly slower clubhead speeds than the tour player, but it's that need in the market. And it was designed with slightly more spin, which helps that slightly slower clubhead speed. As far as what we're doing on tour, that technology could go across the line. It's a platform. And I know that Mike has been working on versions for the tour, mainly to produce a club with more forgiveness, but strategically trying to maintain certain mass properties that made that Idea Pro successful. So if we can make a product that is more forgiving without affecting the spin parameters on center, then it's going to be a home run. And again, that technology is being tested out there right now. It's a little bit early to say, because when you start changing the moment of inertia in one plane, you affect spin and other parameters in the other plane. So we're debating whether we have to look at it, change it a little bit, or if we've got a good product. So, what else, Mike, on that?
As far as the hybrid is concerned, you got to look at where the market's headed and how to better improve your product. And so sometimes they don't necessarily coincide, and we're looking at making our product better regardless of what the market wants to do and making sure that it works. And so that's what will go into the next product that will replace the Idea Pro. And I can assure you, we've had prototypes already in play, and they are phenomenal. So looking forward to that.
Awesome. Guys, there are a large number of tour prototype fairways, such as the 2080, the 4060, the 5050, et cetera, et cetera. How do you decide which one of these will make it to retail, and how do the tour and the retail versions differ? Do they differ in at all in lodge characteristics, MOI, etc.?
No, right off the bat, you know, there's always that misconception out there that the tour product is really different than the market product when it's sold as a tour, quote unquote, tour product. The industry used to do that, you know, years ago, but we found that, you know, what the tour player uses, a lot of the players can use out there. And so when we put a product on the market, it says tour, it's the same product.
Gotcha.
It's a hybrid or a fairway. So, you know, let that be clear right off the bat. But the 2080, 4060, 5050, again, we're all prototypes based on what we said earlier. You know, we're looking at different face heights. We're looking at different CGs, different bounces. You know, how those things work out there with the best players in the world to give us feedback and on what should go into the market product. And really, that's what we use to develop the market product. And then we turn it into the 2080, 4060, and 5050. All led to the RPM fairway and the Insight. And we took the best of what those products had to offer, and each one of them combined that and came up with those products. And so that's how they get to retail and eventually turn right around and become another tour product with a different name.
Got it. Okay, the new fairways look great, the BTY and the BUL. What improvements can we expect to see with them, and how have they been accepted on tour so far?
Yeah, they've been accepted considerably well. The beauty, you know, has the center sole weighting on it, and that allows us, you know, we've looked at center of gravity movement and fairways and hybrids and stuff, and, you know, to put multiple weights in those, it's senseless. You know, it's got a short club moment arm. It doesn't make any sense to do that. So we put a can in there to help us get our center of gravity in the right position, and at the same time, help the acoustics to give a better feel with it. And that's what the beauty has been able to get us out there. The bowl, on the other hand, a little different animal, but again, I was getting a lot of play in the seniors and the women's, you know, a little different spin characteristic, a little different sole interaction with the ground, and again, just, you know, giving a different player something with what they need. And so we look as far as changes to those in the future. You know, we're going to continue to look at improving inertia, forgiveness, you know, spin characteristics, ground interaction. It's just science that continues to evolve as we develop these products.
And to talk a little bit more about the technology, this is a, you know, the technology that's in these two fairways is revolutionary in this industry because this is the first product that actually has two dissimilar metallic materials that are effectively bonded together. You can't weld two dissimilar materials together effectively yet. And what we've done is you've got, first of all, you've got this upside-down design. And upside-down technology at Adams gave us moment of inertia and low CG, made the golf club has that wow factor. Well, the engineers here decided it wouldn't be great if we could take and make the entire top of the crown and the face of the crown titanium. The benefit there, you get the benefit of reducing the weight of the crown to lower the CG. Put titanium in the face, that's going to give you an improvement in COR, make it a hotter ball flight. Then couple that to the bottom of the club, which is stainless steel, and the skirt, which is stainless steel. So the heavy, denser material is where it needs to be in a fairway wood. I've told everybody that when they ask what's the hardest golf club to design, it's the fairway wood or the hybrid, because you have to concern yourself with where you're going to use it, whether it's the tee, off the deck, in the bunker, or if you're Mike Garratt, you're hitting it out of the trees. So, you know, unlike a driver, you're focused on the center hit or slightly above center. You know, consumers aren't necessarily hitting that driver off the deck anymore. So I think the driver, although complicated in itself, is a little easier than a fairway wood. So our technology and just our knowledge around that golf club 13 degrees to 22, we feel is we're ahead of the industry because of how it goes through the ground. And then what do we need to do to improve the launch conditions? So I think what they're going to see when they hit this product, it's going to give you two things. It's going to give you great performance off the deck because the CG is lower and it's not going to spin a lot, which means it's going to get up in the air, but it's going to have a really good penetrating ball flight. The face height is a little bit taller because, again, we wanted to have a certain CG height, but we went ahead and made the face taller because we had a lighter crown. off the tee performance is going to be like a backup driver. This thing is hot. The COR is maxed out. But the CG position is going to be comparable to where it's at in a driver. So when you hit it off the tee, even at 43 inches, the thing flies like the old driver that was probably a couple years old.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that power brazing, about how a lot of guys have said that they've used it, that they've picked up a lot of distance from that. Golf WRX is proud to present an interview with Adams Golf. Today, we're honored to have Tim Reed, Vice President of Research and Development, Michael Gurrett, Senior Engineer, Tour Specialist.